It's time now for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. Today, moderator Dana Rodriguez is joined by two panelists, educator Lori Fisher and technical editor Kira Pace. And now, live in the KALW studios, your host, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you, Joanne. Can you believe it? My God, it's been a couple of years now. Anyway, we're up to the challenge. Here we are behind the mics in the studio for the first time in a few years, and we're doing it. Has it really been five years?
It really has.
March 2020.
Oh
my God, and none of us look any older. I can hardly believe it. But anyway, we are here. We made the sacrifice, came in, we're in the studio. Because it's all for a good cause. We want to help support KLW and the Stand With Us program. We are trying to match that $5,000, the rest of it, by noon. And we're hoping that our faithful listeners and callers will help us along that way. And again, that's the $5,000 challenge. And we want you to stand with us because you know as well as we do that it's a very difficult road ahead for NPR and PBS. So if the government has its way, we might not have any funding at all. So this is the time to get behind us and show how much you appreciate KLW, PBS, and NPR. So we are going to play. We have a nice show, though, and we're going to start with that in a minute. I do want to remind you that we have a couple numbers to call. And we do hope to hear from you because we'd love to hear from you in the studio. It's been a long time. Those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Or toll-free. Yes, we still have a toll-free number for now. 866-798-8255. Again, that is 866-798-8255. And we want to hear from you. We'd love to talk to you, and we'd love to talk to you in the studio. So give us a call as soon as you can with a question or answer. Of course, you haven't heard our questions yet, but if you have a question of your own, that's fine. Also want to remind you, you can contact us by email during the show. That email address is mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. So that is MINDSOVERMATTER1. That's the numeral one. mindsovermatter1@gmail.com. Of course, you can hear us in live stream at kalw.org. And the ever-reliable Joanne is here, so she will have our podcast up in a reasonable amount of time after the show today. That will also be at kalw.org and many other places, but start with KALW. That would be very much appreciated. Again, this is a great time to call. Our lines are open right now, or at least a couple of them are. And so we'd love to hear from you. We really, really would. So we do hope you will give us a call soon and congratulate us on making that trek into the studio for the first time in 5 years. Has it really been 5 years?
Wow. It really has been. Yeah.
Wow, 5 years.
How time flies when you're having a good time.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. And here's the first. Kira Pace has been told that she's here in the studio this morning.
Yeah,
I hope they broke the news to you very gently.
I'm not entirely sure this is real life or just a fever dream, but I'm going to do some research.
No evidence of it yet.
I'll get back to you later once I know for sure. Back in the plush KALW studios for the first time in five COVID-compromised years, Lori Fisher was so pleased that not much had changed. To his delight, he found the donut and steaming hot cup of coffee exactly where he left them.
I was so pleased about that.
You got donuts?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, I left one here last time, and it was still here. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, goes that extra mile for our listeners. Today, quite literally.
Yeah, at least 15. Yeah. Anyway, all right. Welcome to everybody, and we will start the questioning with Kira Pace.
All right. I am going to ask you six questions, one for each category in the original Trivial Pursuit game. For each answer, the husband will donate $10 to KALW. If Dana or Lori answers a question correct, I'm going to double it to $20,
wow,
but only one correct answer from Dana and Lori, or each.
You should make my husband donate something.
You're on a budget.
Yeah. I will also ask a wild card question, one that spans several categories. If a caller gets the question correct, I will double my donation, so that is $20. That means if the guys here in the studio get it correct, that will be $40.
Wow.
So,
a lot of pressure.
Yeah. No pressure. No, not at all. So here are your questions. We'll start with blue geography. What Rajasthani city of nearly 2 million people is nicknamed the Blue City? For Pink Entertainment, I have 20 years after co-starring as Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi appeared in The Tuxedo Begins, an episode of 30 Rock, during which the then 55-year-old actor slings a skateboard over his shoulder and asks what highly memed six-word question. For your yellow question, which is history, Sika Dwa Kofi, or the golden stool born on a Friday, was the divine throne and symbol of power for what empire that lasted from roughly 1701 to 1901? The Brown arts and literature question is this. Donald J. Sobel was particularly known for two book series. The first and best known was Encyclopedia Brown. The other series went by what name, which indicated the amount of time a reader might spend solving the crime in each story. For your green science and nature question, many hydrangea are also so-called natural indicators of what? Other items with this property include red cabbage, purple cauliflower, and turmeric. And your orange sports and leisure question is this. The Florida Gators just won the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship this past week when they beat the Houston Cougars 65-63. What is the name of the stadium in which this took place? So before I read these all again, do you guys have any answers so that I don't have to read them?
Go ahead, Lori.
Well, I know they played the basketball game in San Antonio. If that helps us team up to get it, I don't know the name of it.
These questions are making me think that Kira's husband doesn't want to donate any money. Well, the Donald Sobel one, the only other, besides Encyclopedia Brown, that I can think of is he did 2 Minute Mysteries. Is that it?
Must be it.
2 Minute Mysteries is correct.
All right.
That is $20.
Okay. You know what? I didn't bring the bell today. Oh, well, that's all right.
I don't have one.
Okay.
I don't have other answers.
Would you do the history one again?
Sure. The history one is Sika Dwa Kofi, or the golden stool born on a Friday, was the divine throne and symbol of power of what empire that lasted from roughly 1701 to 1901?
Well, is it the...
And keep in mind that Lori still has his $20 question. If you get anything else right, it'll just be $10.
Well, that's okay. I don't have that one.
Okay. Well, 1701 to 1901. Ooh. It's not the Manchu, is it?
It is not.
Okay. All right. I'll think about that. Okay. Do you want to quickly run over this once
more?
Sure. There we are.
Blue geography is what Rajasthani city of nearly 2 million people is nicknamed the Blue City. Pink Entertainment is 20 years after co-starring as Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi appeared in The Tuxedo Begins, an episode of 30 Rock during which the then 55-year-old actor slings a skateboard over his shoulder and asks what highly memed six-word question. I read the yellow history question already, so green, science and nature, many hydrangea are so-called natural indicators of what? Other items with this property include red cabbage, purple cauliflower, and turmeric. And finally, orange sports and leisure. The Florida Gators just won the NCAA Division I Men's Basketball Championship this past week when they beat the Houston Cougars 65-63. What is the name of the stadium in which this took place?
All right.
And then is there a wild card?
There is. The wild card question combining several categories. In Northern Ireland in the early 80s, what term referred to arrested paramilitaries who divulged the identities of their compatriots to the police in exchange for immunity? The term later became the title of a movie starring Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders, and the name of an English rock band whose members include the brothers Gaz and Rob Coombs.
Whoa.
It's a hard question because it's worth more. But there's someone out there who will know it.
All right. Okay. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. Please remember that we are attempting a $5,000 challenge. We're about halfway there. We would love to fill that out by noon. So feel free to give us a call, 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to KALW and click on donate, whatever you like. And in the meantime, Laurie, it's your turn.
Well, we'll see if this is, if you'll either get this right away or not. There's an article in the Times this week about Othello's on Broadway with Denzel Washington and Jake Gyllenhaal. 1943 was the first production that had a black actor playing Othello. Who was it? Who played Iago, a person who won an Academy Award for Best Actor? And who played Desdemona, a person who won a Tony Award for Best Actress at some point? And it looks like Kira knows them all.
No, I only know one.
Oh, and by the way,
how much money do I get for this?
Well, I wanted to say, yeah, I'm continuing our round here of donating $10 for each correct question and $5 for each incorrect question that is amusing, wonderful, and all that. There's a maximum in all this, whatever it is. But anyway, we'll see. So $10 for sure for the right ones. What do you got?
I feel like $10 is Paul Robeson
it
for
is.
The first black Othello.
It is. In 1943. Get a bell for that one.
All right.
And?
I don't know Iago. Okay. I don't know that.
Iago and Desdemona, future award winners.
So Iago was a Academy Award winner for Best Actor, is that what you said?
Yes.
And that happened after the Broadway show.
That's a really good question. I believe it was after. I'm pretty sure it was after. Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. And Desdemona won a Tony Award for Best Actress.
Was it more of a modern dress, Othello?
No. It was a very traditional dress, at least according to the picture, the one still that I saw.
Okay. Don't know.
Yeah, both really well known.
All right,
so we'll leave it out there. So we're looking for who played with Paul Robeson in 1943, who played Iago and who played Desdemona. The actor who played Iago went on to win a Best Actor Award, and the one who played Desdemona won a Tony Award for Best Actress.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello. How are you doing this morning?
Hi. Nice to hear from you. What's up this morning?
So I am a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Great.
And I think I have an answer for the yellow history category.
Are. Please.
So I believe that this is the African kingdom, the Akan kingdom.
I am going to allow it because they were part of the Akan people. It is the Ashanti kingdom or
Ashanti yes.
Empire okay. specifically, but I will allow Akan. So that is $10 to KALW.
Nice.
All right. Go KALW.
Yeah.
All right.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Yep, bye.
And just to remind you, we have two numbers to join us here this morning. They are area code 415-841-4134, again with a question or answer, or toll free 866-798-8255. All right, let me give you a couple of questions and we'll take a lunch break momentarily. Let's see here. Well, you know, the tariffs have been, of course, in the news. It's practically all in the news this week. So what U.S. state imports the highest percentage from China? It's 26% of all its imports come from China. What U.S. state does that?
Well, let's see. China gives us our rare earth materials, which are used in the production of electronics. So that could mean even California, but I don't think we're 26%.
California is number two.
Yeah. Right. So the other thing I can think of is any state that has a lot of production in like cars or something.
Well, Texas has a lot of both, I believe, and it has a port. So that would occur to me. It's a big state. 26% seems like a lot there, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little, but I should guess it.
Well, I'll go with Texas, then.
Not Texas.
Okay.
All right.
I'll take one more guess and go with
how about the outlier Hawaii? Frequently, they import a lot of everything.
Well, that can be your second guess.
Okay,
and my second guess will be, where are more cars made? Is that Ohio, Michigan, or Kentucky?
All three. I don't know now. You know, it's been a long time since it's been Michigan,
or
I think.
No, it's not Kentucky. It's Tennessee. Let's say Tennessee. That's my guess.
Not Tennessee.
Okay.
And my second guess will be Hawaii, then.
Not Hawaii.
Ah,
okay. Right. So, again, what U.S. state imports the highest percentage of imports from China? 26%. California is second. Which state is first? All right. I have a list. A couple of years ago, TV Guide, which we all used to read, came out with a list of the 100 greatest TV episodes of all time. So what I'm going to do is give you six of the titles of the episodes, not the show, the title of the episodes. And I want you to tell me what the show is, okay? So again, this is on the TV Guide list of the 100 greatest TV episodes of all time. I will give you the title of the episode, but not the title of the show. All right, now one guess each, please. Number one, The Boyfriend. Number two, Password. And I will be fair and say it refers to the game show Password. Okay. Number three, The $99,000 Question. Number four, Coast to Coast Big Mouth. Number five, my favorite, Lamb to the Slaughter. And number six, Nixon versus Kennedy. So again, these are from the TV Guide list of the 100 greatest TV episodes of all time. I give you the title of the episode, you tell me the show, the actual, and these are all network TV shows. Okay.
When did this list come out? Is this from the 20th century?
No, this is probably about 8-9 years old. Okay. Just so you know. But it covers all TV from, you know, the late 40s to now. So again, here are the names of the episodes. Number one, The Boyfriend. Number two, Password. Number three, The $99,000 Question. Answer. I'm sorry, the $99,000 answer. I apologize. Number four, Coast to Coast Big Mouth. Number five, Lamb to the Slaughter. Number six, Nixon versus Kennedy. All right, I'll give you each one guess.
I'll take one. I've seen this list, and I don't remember any of these, but I think Lamb to the Slaughter was Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
Correct. Right. It is indeed Alfred Hitchcock Presents.
It was a great episode.
It was a great episode.
Yeah.
Barbara Bel Geddes was in it, and she played a woman who killed her unfaithful husband with a frozen leg of lamb.
Correct.
Yeah, it's a Roald Dahl story, isn't it?
It is a Roald Dahl story. And then cooked the lamb and served it to the police officers who came to investigate. So there
right.
we go.
Well, that sounds like a deep cut to me, so I might be hosed on this. I'll guess that The Boyfriend is Seinfeld.
It is Seinfeld.
Is it?
Nice.
Yay. All right.
So
great
there we
guess.
Go.
Which episode was that? I don't remember.
It's called The Boyfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, that one. They all could have been called that.
All right. And we're going to take a minute to talk about what we are trying to achieve here for KLW and NPR. And I will turn it over to John Carroll. And just to remind you, we are trying to make a $5,000 challenge and love to get new members. So any of you out there who are longtime listeners to the show or new listeners to the show and like to join KLW, you are more than welcome.
Great. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dana. Yes, we are in the midst of a $5,000 challenge match from our producer circle. You can call 1-800-525-9917. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online to kalw.org and click donate. We want to thank Paul in Albany, who said, love what you do each and every day. Thank you. We love what we do too, Paul. So thank you so much for your gift of support. We want to thank Kathy Kornbluth in San Francisco, who wrote, KALW provides many perspectives, views, commentary, offers authentic investigative reporting, international news, U.S. news, SF news, truth, responsible journalism, free speech, and of course, Rose Aguilar. I am so grateful. We're grateful for you, Kathy. Thank you for your gift of support. You can join the KALW family too, Liz. How do they do that?
Oh, there's a whole bunch of ways. It's very easy. You just go to kalw.org. You hit that donate button, and there are a bunch of There's a whole bunch of stuff. So if you are interested in having a premium, maybe something you can either have at your house that reminds you or your office of KLW, or that you want to wear, a couple of things that really stand out to me. One is the KLW turntable hoodie. It's just $240 or $20 a month, and it's great. It's really beautiful. It was created by the San Fran Psycho Arts Group, and it's just spot on. It's something that's beautiful to wear. You can also get the Wake the FM Up mug. It's $10 a month. You can get a bandana, a tote. There's a very cool kind of classic KLW lunch tray t-shirt.
Graphic tee.
Yeah, it's super cool. Super cool. And I love, you know, Kevin does the almanac, which is one of my very favorite things at KLW.
And he reads the lunch menu, which is why we have our lunch tray tee. So you can get that by calling 1-800-525-9917 or going online at kalw.org and clicking donate. Now we're going to go back to Dana and Minds Over Matter.
Thank you very much, John. I never thought about paying for a hoodie on time, but I guess $20 a month. All right. Well, I guess that's possible.
It's a good layaway plan.
Yeah, good layaway plan. And let's see now. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hi, am I on?
You are.
Hi, this is Robert and Karen in Bernal Heights.
Oh, good to talk
to
you.
Big fans of the show. So first, I'm calling in to match Lori's pledge. I'm glad that he's doing it again this year. So whatever Lori raises as a match at $10 a pop, we will match that $10 a pop, and same for the $5 a pop.
Correct.
So let us know at the end of the show what we owe.
Okay.
And second, I have a question.
Yes.
Since a lot of us are doing a lot of day drinking these days, the 21st Amendment was ratified in 1933, the only amendment to do away with the previous amendment, which was doing away with prohibition. But just because prohibition ended at the federal level didn't mean it ended at the state level. Which was the last state to enforce prohibition? It didn't stop prohibiting alcohol consumption until I don't know if it was sales or consumption or both, until 1966.
I know Kansas was a dry state. Was it Kansas or Utah?
It was neither of those.
Okay.
They may have lingered after 1933 as well, but which was the last state?
Can I ask if this was this east or west of the Mississippi?
Neither.
Oh, so it borders or it straddles the Mississippi?
So to speak.
All right.
What states on both sides of the Mississippi?
I guess
so to speak.
So to speak would be Minnesota, I suppose.
Go south.
Iowa.
No.
Keep going south.
Mississippi?
No.
It is Mississippi.
Is it really Mississippi? Was a dry state?
It just cost us each
$10, $30. Mississippi was the first dry state. And the last dry state. It was the first state to pass some form of prohibition in 1908, and the first state to ratify the 18th Amendment, and the last state to do away with prohibition, although it still allows individual counties to be dry. So not a good state for day drinking. Anyway.
Well, that's why you have to go on the riverboats, I think.
They would allow.
Yeah, you might.
They did allow drinking on the riverboats, right? Mm. I think so.
Yeah. Anyway,
thank
you very much, Robert, and best to Karen, and we appreciate your being a supporter of the show.
Big fans. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. And if you'd like to join Robert and Karen in helping to back both Minds Over Matter, KLW, NPR, and PBS, feel free to do that. We are trying to make that $5,000 challenge, so anything you can do to help will be much appreciated. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go to KALW and click on Donate. But for here, we'd love to hear from you. We're not going to bother you about anything other than playing the game. It's 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Just a reminder, you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We're in studio today to help support KALW. And my players, fellow players here, Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teacher at Dabo Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us, of course, on the great NPR station KALW in San Francisco. And we hope you will join us in supporting that station today. Let's see, Kira, your turn, I think.
A living language is one with at least one person who speaks it as their first language. According to Ethnologue's list of countries with the most living languages, the U.S., with 236 languages, is in eighth. What are the seven countries with the most living languages?
Is Papua New Guinea one?
Papua New Guinea is number one with 840 different living languages.
All right.
Oops.
And then
got to put it on my list.
I guess Brazil would be my second guess.
Brazil is 10th and therefore not on my list.
All right.
How about, I'm trying to think, how about Indonesia?
Number two with 710 living languages.
All right, there we go.
A very linguistically diverse area over there. Yeah.
So just go over that one more time, please.
Sure. According to Ethnologue's list of countries with the most living languages, the U.S. with 236 is in eighth. What are the seven countries with the most living languages? And the first two, Dana and Lori, got are Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, looking for third through seventh.
We have an email here from Tristan. He says, I remember my mother telling me that when I was a boy, she could add nails to the dirt to make our hydrangeas change color. So I believe they are a natural indicator of iron.
Oh, no. I was ready for the correct answer, but perhaps they are an indicator of iron, but that is not what I have. It is, again, a property that is shared with red cabbage, purple cauliflower, and turmeric.
All right. So you're on the right track, but not iron.
Not iron.
Okay. Not iron.
And that's a good wrong answer, so that's getting $5 in my donation routine. That's
sweet.
A great wrong answer. Yeah.
That was Tristan, right?
It was Tristan.
Yeah, all right, Tristan. Yeah. We're up $5 now.
Is that a better answer than the accurate answer? Because that was pretty cool.
The accurate answer is a good answer, too.
Right. And I shall also say that Christina Ruiz Esparza, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I hope I am, had Big Mouth Coast to Coast, and that was the Dick Van Dyke show. You may remember now that it was where Mary Tyler Moore's character, Laura, accidentally blurts out that Alan Brady, played by Carl Reiner, wears a hairpiece. So,
she got that right?
She got that right.
Very good.
Very good. Thank you very much. And Lori, I believe it's your turn.
All right. This is sort of a local color question. I saw a list of the most popular baby names in San Francisco in 2024. And I noticed this feature. Three of the girls' names started and ended with the same letter. And I am even going to give you the letter. Two of them started and ended with the letter E. And one of them started and ended with the letter A. And then a boy's name, only one name started and ended with the same letter, and that was S. So what are the three girls' names and one boy's names that started and ended with the same letter in San Francisco last year?
How about boys' names? Silas.
That's it.
Is it really?
That really was the
only name I could think of. It started with an N with an S.
When I was thinking, are there others? I thought, I didn't know. I thought it was a long shot, but very
Sheamus,
good.
Sheamus, I suppose.
Sheamus would be good. Stevens would be good. Yeah. But Silas is it. Oh, very nice.
Okay.
All right. So now we're looking for the three girls' names, two E's and one A.
Okay. And
what about Emily?
Emily.
With an I-E at the end?
Oh, with an I-E.
Yeah.
That's not, Emily spelled with an I-E at the end is not on the list.
All right, go over that once more.
So three of the top 10 girls' names in San Francisco in 2024 started and ended with the same letter. Two times it starts and ends with the letter E, and one time starts and ends with the letter A.
So do these names, did you compare these names to the national favorites?
I did not. They only had San Francisco in the column, so they may overlap and they may not. I don't think they do, but it's hard to know.
Huh. All right. Okay. And we're going to take a minute break here. We're going to turn it over to John, who's going to tell you a little bit more about the $5,000 challenge we are trying to achieve before noon today. So if you help support, if you support KLW, of course, and NPR, and all the work that's being done at this station and all the NPR stations around the country, this is a great time to donate. John?
Thank you, Dana. I'm here with Liz McDonald, and we're going to take just a moment to ask you for your support. 1-800-525-9917 is that number you can call. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online to kalw.org and click donate.
Yeah, Minds Over Matter. I mean, what a show. I'm listening. I mean, I'm spellbound. It entertains, it delights, it informs me. And if you value that and you are listening, it would be incredible to work on this challenge. It would also be incredible to get some new members. And maybe we could get 5 new members before we wrap up this show. And if you could do that, if you're out there listening and you love this program, if you love everything Saturday mornings that KLW brings to you, this is a moment. This is the time to call up. You can do it by calling us at 800-525-9917, or you can go to klw.org to subscribe, and there you will find all kinds of interesting things you can walk off with, including, as Dana mentioned, the sweatshirt for $240 or $20 a month, so you can do it over time.
There you go. And now is the perfect opportunity, because if you make the gift right now, you'll be part of our challenge match that we're trying to make before noon today. It's $5,000. We are not there yet. We're very, very close. So we need your support to get there. 1-800-525-9917 is that number to call, or go online to kalw.org and click donate. It's your support that makes it happen. Stand with us right now. Stand with KALW during this time when media is under attack. This is more than ever the time to do it. So make that gift. Make it right now. Go online to klw.org and click donate. And thanks. Back to Dana.
All right. Thank you very much, John. And let's quickly run over the questions that we have out. And Kira, we'll start with you.
All right. I have my blue geography question. What Rajasthani city of nearly 2 million people is nicknamed the Blue City? My pink entertainment question. 20 years after co-starring as Mr. Pink in Reservoir Dogs, Steve Buscemi appeared in The Tuxedo Begins, an episode of 30 Rock during which the then 55-year-old actor slings a skateboard over his shoulder and asks what highly memed six-word question. The green science and nature question still out. Many hydrangea are so-called natural indicators of what? Other items with this property include red cabbage, purple cauliflower, and turmeric. The orange sports and leisure question is the Florida Gators just won the NCAA Division I men's basketball championship this past week when they beat the Houston Cougars 65-63. What is the name of the stadium in which this took place? And Lori has already helped out by reminding you that it is in San Antonio.
Is it the Alamo Center?
Alamo Stadium.
The
Alamo. Add a different ending to it. Let's go.
Alamo Basement.
The Alamo.
It's a sports stadium with a certain feature.
A dome. The Alamo Dome.
Alamo Dome. $20. Dome. Nice job.
Ooh.
All right.
And finally, that was worth it. Yeah.
The wild card question, combining several categories. In Northern Ireland in the 1980s, what term referred to arrested paramilitaries who divulged the identities of their compatriots to the police in exchange for immunity? The term later became the title of a movie starring Don French and Jennifer Saunders, as well as the name of an English rock band whose members included the brothers Gaz and Rob Coombs. Those were all my questions. Mm. I did also ask about living languages. What countries have the most living languages? And so far we have Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, looking for the next 5.
In 1943, Paul Robeson, thanks to Kira, played Othello on Broadway for the first time. Who played Iago? Who played Desdemona? Both of them became award-winning actors and actresses. Iago won an Oscar for Best Actor, and Desdemona won a Tony for Best Actress for different roles. Then in San Francisco in 2024, the most popular girls' names, two of them started and ended with the letter E, and one of them started and ended with the letter A. What are those?
All right. And let's see, what U.S. state imports the highest percentage of its imports from China, which is 26%. California is second. What is the state I am looking for? And I have the TV Guide. I got you some selections from the TV Guide list of the 100 greatest TV episodes of all time. The ones we have left are, I give you the title of the episode and then I'm looking for the show. The ones we have left are Password, The $99,000 Answer, and Nixon versus Kennedy. I believe it's my turn here, so I'm just going to give you a quick question.
Can I ask one question? Are all the shows, the TV shows, are they scripted? Are any of them news shows or documentaries?
No, they're all scripted shows. Two are comedies, and one is a sort of a drama comedy, but mostly a drama. And I'm going to ask you a question about Sgt. Pepper, because you know what a great rock fan I am.
Yeah.
But I do like the Beatles. So this is the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album. There are one, two, three, four, five Academy Award, either nominees or winners, on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper album. I would like you to give me at least one of them each.
Are they all for acting?
Yes, they're all for acting. There are actually seven, but you really can't see two of them very well. So if you want to give me the ones that are partially hidden, they're really quite well hidden. But there are about seven.
Let's go with an Elizabeth Taylor.
And no, not Elizabeth Taylor.
Is John Wayne on there?
He is not.
Okay.
So again, who are the seven actors who were nominated or won an Academy Award that are on the cover of the Sgt. Pepper Beatles album?
This is a question for Kira. I think Marilyn Monroe's on there. Was she nominated ever?
She was not.
Okay. So. She's not on there, or she wasn't nominated?
Not
or both?
Nominated.
She was not nominated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good
They're all
question.
Quite well known.
Yeah.
So, and...
Oh, then I'm going to go ahead and guess Hepburn.
No.
Okay. That was... Because that was two guesses.
That was
in
two
one.
Guesses at once.
No,
yeah.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Since you were wrong, it's perfectly okay.
Right.
I'm trying to think of kind of classic... how about Brando?
Yes. Marlon Brando is on there. Very good.
God, I can see the entire cover, and they're all mushing together.
I just remember that creepy doll.
There's a creepy doll.
Yeah, creepy doll is all I remember.
Wearing a sweater, yeah.
And I just want to remind you, we have a couple of lines open. We would love to hear from you and talk to you. We are in studio today, so it makes it all the more fascinating for us. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll-free 866-798-8255. We have a couple of things on email here that I want to pass along to you, Kira. Douglas says that the Blue City is Jodhpur.
Douglas just earned $10 for KALW.
And I should say that I think somebody else have that? If they did, I apologize. Anyway, and both Ellen and Julian say that it is the color of the hydrangeas depends on the pH balance. Is that correct?
Yes. I'm sorry. Julian and who?
Julian and... Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Give me one more. Ellen.
Ellen and Julian are correct. So that is yet another $10.
Explain it. What happens?
So if the dirt is acidic, you get blue hydrangeas. If you take the same plant and put it in alkalinic soil, they are pink. So you can change the colors of your hydrangea by changing the soil.
I'll bet that has something to do with the iron in the soil, making our other caller probably right-ish.
Right-ish.
Yeah.
And
so, and therefore worth $5.
Still $5.
Okay.
And this is a great answer to the Steve Buscemi question. And his answer is, how do you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow kids? Whose answer is that?
This is, wait a minute, Steve, and I think somebody else gave this. And Steve and Stephanie both got
Steve and Stephanie, nice job. That is yet another $10 for
nice
the
work.
Studio. How do you do, fellow kids?
How do you do, fellow kids? He's great.
Is James Dean on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's? And was he
nominated? James Dean, is not on the cover, and he was not nominated. Right. He was nominated, I'm sorry. Yep. But he's not on the cover.
Okay.
So.
But I want to point out, you've asked a rock and roll question. Very good.
Well, in a technical,
It's not about music per se, but it's close enough.
Too close.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. We're in studio today, and that makes it all the more special for us, and we would love to hear from you. Feel free to give us a call. area code 415-841-4134, or toll-free, 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call right now. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, hi. I have a guess for living languages.
Yes.
Is one of those countries Guatemala?
No, that is such a good guess.
It is a good guess.
It's a fantastic guess. That's maybe a $5 wrong guess. I don't know.
Well, okay. Oh, we're no. getting up okay. there. Well, all right. I'm going to give it. Yeah.
All right. Okay. I'm pledging Lori's money. I hope he doesn't mind.
Thank you very much for that.
Bye. Bye for now.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Meredith in the Castro.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for coming into the studio today.
Oh, no problem.
It's nice.
I hate that I didn't know the 30 Rock question, because I can just picture him with that skateboard, but I didn't know the meme.
with his T-shirt that says music group. Yeah. Or no, music band. There we go.
Okay, don't get me started, because I won't be able to talk. Is Elise the name? The girl's name?
Elise is not one of them.
Oh, that's a good guess.
It's okay. A great guess, and it's close, but it's not one of them.
Oh, so okay. L maybe?
Oh,
not L either.
Okay, well, we're close. We've got L and Elise.
Circling in. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then two guesses on the languages. Nigeria?
Number three, good. With 530 different living languages. Nice job.
Good.
India?
Is number four with 453 terrific. Living languages.
Okay. And then last wild guess on the Sergeant Pepper's is Laurence Olivier?
No, not Laurence Olivier.
Okay. And wasn't there another question where I thought Laurence Olivier, but I don't remember. Okay.
Oh, maybe it was Iago?
That must have been
an incorrect guess, but a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Are any of the Sergeant Peppers British?
Let me look here. No.
So they're all American icons.
They're not all American, but they're not British.
Oh.
So.
French. Oh, Swedish maybe.
No.
I don't
Swedish.
Think the actors. I don't think so.
Swedish. Not American. All American, one European, three Europeans.
Three Europeans for acting awards before 1966.
Nominated. Either nominated or winner.
Yeah.
So.
Sophia Loren.
Yes.
Nice.
She's one of the ones that's hidden, by the way. You can barely see her. So that's good. Okay. Good job.
It is good.
And let's see. Somebody else had another guess about your names here. Let me just check this for 1 second. Elaine.
Oh, that's not correct, but that is a good guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And all right, Kira, you have a quick question you can throw out here?
Probably. Stuart Granger, Sean Connery, and Patrick Swayze all have a character role in common. Who is it?
So Stuart Granger, same again?
Stuart Granger, Sean Connery, and Patrick Swayze. They all played the same character in different things, I guess.
So
I
is
to
this
say.
Character from literature?
I think the character did indeed originate in literature.
This character, a fictional character?
Yes.
Okay.
Is it Alan Quartermain?
Alan Quartermain is correct.
King Solomon's Mines, in other words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, very good.
Also played by Richard Chamberlain and Cedric Hardwick.
Very nice.
Patrick Swayze, I must admit, I did not remember. Do you have the name of the movie there?
Yes, it's called King Solomon's
Mines.
Oh,
truly? It's another one?
It was a TV miniseries, which is why I had to say things as opposed to movies.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello.
Hi, this is Rita in San Francisco.
Hi, Rita. Are you Rita who frequently emails us?
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
Welcome.
Yes. I met an absolutely gorgeous neighbor's baby the other day, and her name was Eloise. Is that one of the names?
It is one of the names. Eloise is on the list. Very good.
Good job.
Yeah, and you met a San Francisco baby with that name. That's
I did indeed.
Inside information.
the living languages. Has anyone guessed the Philippines?
They have not, but that is not on my list, not in the top 10, I'm afraid.
Okay. Well, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this all is from the 1960s. And I'm looking for what do a popular board game, a very well-known cereal, and a high-circulation magazine have in common?
So a popular board game, a cereal, and a high-circulation magazine.
Oh, Life.
Yes.
Life. Very Life magazine. Yeah.
That's good.
Yes,
good
give job. Yourself a bell. Now, the Life board game, what is its actual name?
I think it's called The Game of Life.
Mm-hmm. That's also correct. Very good. And do you have any idea when either the original or modern versions were introduced?
Well, I can certainly remember playing it with my brothers, and I'm a man of a certain age, so my guess is probably the 50s, early 60s?
For the modern one, I think.
For the modern one? Yeah. Okay.
That's what I would think.
Okay, 50s, early 60s, since it was 1960, I guess that counts.
That's perfect.
All right, yeah. All right.
It was actually introduced as the Game of Life in 1860 by Milton Bradley.
Wow.
And I believe it was the first really popular board game in the U.S.
All right.
1865. That's great.
How about that?
Yeah. Cool.
And would anybody like to take a stab at the years that Life magazine was published weekly?
Well, it started in 1936.
Correct.
And I thought it was weekly from the very beginning. That is
correct.
Yeah, I don't think it's weekly anymore. Is the point?
Oh,
yeah.
Weekly anymore? I'm sorry. No. Maybe the late 80s. I don't know. I'm not.
No, it's
later than
it's
that.
It's actually much earlier than that. I was very surprised. Oh. It was 1972. It's ceased its regular weekly publication.
That is a surprise.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the
cereal. And one last question. This has to do with the cereal. When was it introduced?
Life cereal? Well, I bet that's a 60s, late 60s, early 70s kind of thing. I don't know. What do you think?
I'm gonna guess mid 60s. So mid-60s? I'll go with 60.
Yeah.
I'll go with 64.
It just has a late 60s. It has a 60s kind of name to it. That's
I was kind of surprised on this one too. 1961.
Okay. All right.
1961.
Well, thank you very much.
Anyways, I just love your show. I love when you come up with questions like the one last week with the president's name and the
baby names.
Oh, the baby names and the president's names. Right. Okay.
Yeah, that was wonderful. So I'm sure contributing this part of the pledge break, and this show is a big reason for it. Thanks a million.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you. Appreciate it very
much.
Great
listener.
And we're going to take a minute here. We're going to turn it over to John. He's going to tell us how we can still make that $5,000 challenge. I hope we're getting closer and closer to stand with KLW and NPR and all public radio in the United States. John?
And yes, indeed. We are getting much closer. We're inching down to that $5,000. So thank you for everyone who's made their gift of support. 1-800-525-9917 is the number you can call. That's 1-800-525-9917. Or you can go online to kalw.org and click donate to make that gift of support. I want to thank a few folks already who've done that. We want to thank Sharon, Michelle, and Stephanie in Oakland, Stefan in San Francisco, Carolyn in Mill Valley, and Aaron in El Cerrito. Thank you for your gifts. You can take advantage of this challenge match and have the impact of your gift doubled. 1-800-525-9917 is that number, or online at kalw.org. I'm joined here in studio with Liz McDonald from our music group. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. And yeah, when you join KLW, you know, shows like this, you are becoming an active participant in one of the most creative and productive stations in public media. And when you subscribe, you're joining this network of amazing people throughout the Bay Area, throughout the world, that really care about this kind of programming. And we are doing things like this, and we are also behind the scenes and not so behind the scenes, we are training the next generation of music curators, of audio academy people, of journalists, of storytellers. So it's just rich on so many levels, and you can support it right now by going to kalw.org, hitting that donate button, and there's a whole bunch of ways to do it, or call us at 800-525-9917 and become part of the really active network in the Bay that is supporting this programming and also the community that's around it.
And we are working that $5,000 challenge match before noon. We are very close, so your gift may be the one that gets us over the edge. So call right now, 1-800-525-9917, and online at kalw.org. I'm going to go back, but I have one question. I'm going to take a stab at this and say, is Eve one of the San Francisco names?
It is not.
Oh, darn it.
Good guess, but inaccurate. Eve. Yeah, I don't think it's made a big comeback yet.
What about Amelia?
Amelia is not one of them either.
All right. Well, we do have a couple of guesses on that. Actually, somebody guessed Esme.
Right. Oh. That is it.
Is it really?
E-S-M-E.
Oh, then I have to give credit.
Yeah.
Tina, that was your guess.
Tina, that is actually perfect.
Esme and Eleanor, not Eleanor with an R, Eleanor with an E at the end.
Yeah, well, Esme made the list.
Okay.
That surprised me, too. So we're looking for the AA list. So
and Ellen guessed Ava. Another Ellen.
Yeah, not Ava and not Eve.
Okay. Oh, yes. And Sandra also was wondering if the Iago in the Paul Robeson version of Othello was played by Jose Ferrer.
It was.
All right.
Very good.
That makes sense.
Who won an Oscar for?
For Cyrano de Bergerac. Yeah.
What year was that?
1950.
Okay. So about 7 years later. So we're only looking for Desdemona in that original production.
And Desdemona was famous for, in other words, what was she known for other?
She won a Tony Award, perhaps more than one, for Best Actress in, when the Tony Awards started, I won't give you the era. So this the Tony Awards didn't start till the late 40s, so it was after this as well.
Joanne is saying that the actress won an award from Passage to India. Is it the same actress?
No, she did not win. I don't think she won it for that.
Thanks for confusing me, Joanne.
That's her job. Yeah. I will say the person we're looking for has an interesting relationship with both Jose Ferrer and Paul Robeson, if that helps.
Rosemary Clooney?
Not Rosemary. Not Rosemary Clooney.
Oh, was she married to Jose Ferrer at some point?
She was.
Yes. Who was that? They had
Rosemary
a
Clooney was
yeah,
married to Jose
that was
Ferrer.
Later.
No, and they had a kid together who is also famous for something. Oh.
She married Jose Ferrer before Rosemary Clooney. I mean,
yeah. In 43, according to the article.
Huh. All right,
no.
Somebody will know
who won
that.
A Tony Award for Best Actress as well. Very well known. Well known for being an acting teacher as well.
Uta Hagen?
Yes.
Oh.
And Uta Hagen was married to Jose Ferrer and had a fairly well-publicized affair with Paul Robeson. So she... I'm giving her two bells for that one. Very good.
No wonder they got divorced.
Really? Hmm. Yeah. Hmm. Anyway, great.
All right.
Thank you, caller.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda calling from Burlingame.
Hi, Linda.
And I'm a sustaining member and invite others that are listening to join in the fun as well.
Thank you very much.
I have an answer for the episode that is, I forget which order, Kennedy versus Nixon or
yes.
Nixon versus Kennedy. That was Mad Men.
Right, oh. Mad Men. Very good. Good job.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Nope, that was it.
That was it. Okay, well, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
They must have done advertising on the debate.
Right? I guess so, yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Tom in Southern California.
Hi.
Hi. Jared, it's a Blue City question.
We're not hearing you too well.
Oh, Jared, did you get Jared's Blue City
there
question?
We did, there but we you go. Can give it again.
Oh, is it Jaipur?
Oh, no, it was in Jodhpur. India. You're so close.
Jodhpur. Horrible me. Okay, well, no bells. Oh, the Sgt. Pepper album. Yeah, Charlie Chaplin on Sgt. Pepper's.
He won an honorary Oscar, but he wasn't nominated.
He was never nominated?
No,
he was not.
Very interesting. Okay, and then the only question I have has to do with trauma films, which everybody knows has to do with the Toxic Avenger.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But what, so they had started out doing kind of raunchy sex comedies in the early 70s, and apparently they were running out of money, and Lloyd Kaufman, who founded it, he helped produce what independent film that actually gave them enough money to sustain them through the 80s?
Oh, I don't know this one. Do you?
What kind of film was it?
It was an independent film, probably about as far. It's kind of hard to describe. It's kind of a two-hander, I guess, would be one way to say it.
Because I know Troma later did Cannibal the Musical, but that was well into the 90s.
So it wasn't something like Eraserhead or like that kind of thing.
No,
that was produced by Mel Brooks.
Yeah. The two-hander, I think it was an Oscar-nominated director, though not for this film and not at the time.
Agnes of God.
No.
It's a wild choice.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It is My Dinner with Andre.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That was Troma?
That's a surprise.
Yeah, Lloyd Kaufman was the production manager and threw in money, and they were able to make enough money to be able to keep going and make such classics as The Toxic Avenger and so on.
I find that to be inconceivable, personally.
Interesting.
All right. Great show, as always.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Bye.
All right.
I have some Sgt. Pepper's guesses if we have time.
Let's try to get one more call in here, and then we'll clean up. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, my name's Heather. I'm calling from Albany, and I'm a member.
Hi, thank you.
I actually have a correction.
Uh-oh.
Jaipur is the pink city. I was just there a few months ago.
Right. The correct answer is Jodhpur.
Oh, okay. But I thought it was a country, a city in Morocco that was a blue city.
There is also a city. Yeah. There are a few cities in the world that are called the blue, or nicknamed the blue city.
Okay.
But you are correct that Jaipur is the pink city.
Yeah, I just wanted to get it clear. Okay, great show. Love you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, time to clean up here. Kira, start with you.
All right. Really, the only thing I have left is the wild card question. Telling on your compatriots for immunity. Also a British film starring Don French and Jennifer Saunders, and also an English rock band. That is Supergrass. Yeah. And the Living Languages, the ones that no one got were in fifth place China, 306 languages. In sixth place Mexico, 293. And seventh place Cameroon, 279. As mentioned, U.S. came in eighth with 236 living languages, and that's all I have.
All right, Lori?
Sgt. Pepper's guesses. How about Betty Davis, Clark Gable, and Montgomery Clift?
Betty Davis, yes. No, not Clark Gable or Montgomery Clift.
Okay.
Well, Veronica Lake.
No.
Okay.
The name we don't have that starts and ends with the letter A, Aurelia, was one of the top 10 names in San Francisco last year.
All right.
And then for our caller who is going to match our matching, there were today, believe it or not, 25 correct answers and two good answers that were incorrect. So however you want to divide your money for that, I'm going to base my donation on that. And thank you very much, everybody who's donated.
All right.
And I have $80 worth of correct answers. And since nobody got the wild card, I will just go ahead and add in the caller who got Nigeria and India correct. So even 100.
Nice work.
All right, good job.
From the husband.
The U.S. state that imports the highest amount from China, 26% of all its imports, is Nevada. The TV Guide list of the 100 greatest TV episodes of all time, the ones nobody got, was Password, which was Felix and Oscar going to play Password with Alan Ludden. And that's still, of course, that's The Odd Couple. The $99,000 answer is a very famous episode of The Honeymooners. Ralph goes on the quiz show and he misses Swanee River. And let's see. Oh, yes. The Sgt. Pepper cover Fred Astaire, Marlon Brando, Marlena Dietrich, Tony Curtis, Betty Davis, Sophia Loren, and Marcello Mastroianni. All were on Sgt. Pepper cover, all nominated for Academy Awards at some time or another. Anyway, my thanks to Kira Pace, technical editor, Lori Fisher, teachers at Dabo Valley College. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Thanks to Joanne Marr for handling the board and phones. I'm going to turn over to John, and I want to say thank you to all the listeners out there who've supported us all over the years. We appreciate you very much, and we do hope you will call and pledge if you have not done so already for the $5,000 challenge. Stand with KLW, stand with NPR. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week, and I'll turn over to John.
And thanks, Dana, and thanks, Lori and Kira, and thank husband for your donations. We appreciate that. Thanks so much. You can make a gift as well, 1-800-525-9917.